Ervin Daf Samech Beis. We begin the sixth parak of our Masechta. In this parak, we're going to be introducing ourselves to the topic of Eruvei Chatzeros. First half of the Masechta, first five prakim, dealt with issues of Mavui and Erev Tchum. First two prakim had to do with Mavui. Next three prakim had to do with Erev Tchum. And now we are going to be discussing head-on the topic of Eruvei Chatzeros. The basic idea of the institution of Eruvei Chatzeros, which we were introduced to briefly earlier in this Masechta, is the idea that there is a Takana Derabanan that in order to carry from your house into a Chatzer that is owned not only by you, but other members of the Chatzer, so one would require to make an Eruv. One has to make a contribution from everybody that is living in the Chatzer in order to unify everyone together. Exactly how this works, so just a short couple of days ago, the Gemara dealt with the more conceptual issue in terms of how Erev Chatzeros works exactly. But for the purpose of our discussion over here, just as a basic introduction to the Masechta, so what the Erev does is that it unifies. It takes everyone that lives together in this Chatzer, combines everyone together, unifies them together, and basically turns this semi-public area into a single entity area. It unifies. And in doing so, so now when I'm carrying from my house into the Chatzer, so basically what I'm doing is I'm carrying from one Rishus Yachid into the very same Rishus Yachid. Without the institution of Eruvei Chatzeros, so the Chachamim were in fact concerned that once we get comfortable with the idea that I'm going to be carrying from my Rishus Yachid to a more public Rishus Yachid, if I get comfortable with that idea, so eventually what is going to end up happening is I will get comfortable with the idea of carrying from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Rabban, which would be Nisa Daraisa. This idea is clearly expressed in a Rashi here in the beginning of the sixth parak. I could just show you this Rashi right now, even though we haven't started the mission yet. But if you take a look at Rashi on Samach Bezim and Aleph, Rashi writes, Nimsi saw Motzi L'chasim Yibeso Shum Yuchalo Motzi Mirishus L'Rishus. If there are other occupants of that Chatzer, so what's going to end up happening now is that you're basically carrying from one domain to another. V'rabban gazer shalala hatzim rishus l'rishus below Eruv, demo'asi la'afuke mirishus yach l'rishus rabin. So Rashi says that the rabbinic concern is that once we get comfortable with this idea of bringing out from one domain to another, so we're not really going to be able to discriminate in terms of the different types of domains, and so therefore, eventually we're going to end up carrying from rishus yach to rishus rabin. So as in order to safeguard that, so to be able to carry from one Rishus to another Rishus, even though they're both Rishus HaYachid, so the institution of Eruvei Chatzeros. That's the basic idea in the more general abstract, but now we're going to be dealing over here with the specifics. In this parak, the sixth parak, we're going to be talking about Eruvei Chatzeros, as we will be talking also in the upcoming parakim as well. And just a couple of ideas. First of all, the basic institution of Eruvei Chatzeros. If I have a chatzer that is flanked by more than one house, and so multiple people are living within this chatzer, so in order to be carrying from my house into the chatzer, so we have to do a Eruvei Chatzeros, which is the idea that somebody's going to be coming along with the basket. Every member of the chatzer is going to be making a contribution, putting bread in the basket. This basket then, in turn, is going to be placed in one of the residents' houses. And this is a way of unifying everyone together. So that is the basic idea of Eruv Chatzeros. Everybody within the Chatzer has to make a contribution to the Eruv. If one person doesn't make a contribution to the Eruv, so the Eruv is ineffective. So that is the first idea. The second idea is that if, let's say, for example, you have a member, a Jewish member of the Chatzer who didn't make a contribution to the Eruv, so there is a concept known as Bitzel HaRishus. What he could do is relinquish his rights to the Chatzer, to the other members of the Chatzer, and you could do that even on Shabbos as well. That's an idea that we're going to be exploring a little bit later in this parak. And the last idea, which we're going to be dealing with right here in the Mishnah, is the idea of what happens if a non-Jew were to live within this Chatzer. If a non-Jew were to live within this Chatzer, so he also has residence and rights to the Chatzer, and in order to be able to unify, so in theory, he could also make a contribution towards the Eruv. However, the Chachamim said no. In order for the to be able to make use of a Chatzer where there's a non-Jew that lives in the Chatzer, so the only way to go about it is what's called Schirus. And that means to say that you're going to have to rent out the rights that this guy has within the chatzar. The rental of those rights is something which we're going to be talking about here in this daf. So that's coming up a little bit later on. Okay, all this is just the most basic information. And as we go through the parak, obviously we're going to be able to understand all this in much greater detail. We are going to be starting our Mishnah here on the bottom of Samach Aleph Amud Beis. The Mishnah begins. Hadarim ovi kochavim b'chatzer. If a person is living with a non-Jew within the chatzer, o im misha enamo de be'erev, or somebody who does not accept the laws of the erev, hare ze osar alav. So what we have now is restriction. By virtue of the fact that you're living together with just one other person, and this other person is not Jewish, so now a restriction has been created. In other words, you cannot carry from your house into the chatzar based on the residence of one other person, and even if that one other person is a non-Jew. This is all the sheet of the Tanakhama of our Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Omer, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is of the position, La'olam eino osar, ashu shnei Yisraelim, osrim ze al ze. The only way that there is going to be restriction in the chatzar is if you have two residences that are owned by Jews and a non-Jewish residence. Then and only then is there going to be a issue of restriction. But according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, if it's just a Jew and a non-Jew living in a chatzar, so therefore there is no restriction, and the Jew would be able to carry from his house into the chatzar even without any kind of adjustment that's done to this chatzar. The opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is going to be explained in much greater detail in the Gemara. So when we get to the Gemara, we're going to understand Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and also we're going to understand the machlokus between Rabbi Meir, that's the Tanakama, and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. I'm Rabbi Gamliel. Before we go on in the Mishnah and quote the position of Rabbi Gamliel, so first let's identify. In the Mishnah, we talked about a Jew living in a chatzar with a non-Jew or with somebody who does not agree to the principle, to the institution of Erev. Who is that a reference to? So take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi says we're talking about a kusi. The kusi, as we've discussed time and again throughout our Masechta and many other Masechtas as well, basically somebody, a group of people whose conversion is subject to a controversy in terms of whether it's a good conversion or not a good conversion. And Rashi, a little bit later on in the Mishnah, goes on to say that the author of our Mishnah subscribes to the view that a kusi is gerei arayos. It is a forced conversion, and therefore the kusi that's being discussed in our Mishnah has the same status as a non-Jew. So effectively, when the Mishnah is describing either a non-Jew or a kusi, so basically the Mishnah is giving two different examples of living in a chatzar with a non-Jew. Okay, that's Rashi in our Mishnah, and for our purposes right now, we'll keep it simple like that. Continuing in the Mishnah, Amram and Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel is of the opinion, Maisa but Stuki Echad. There was an incident with Stuki. Now, Stuki is another group of people that lived during Bai Sheni. We go over them numerous times throughout Shas, and they're a group of people who are absolutely Jewish, but at the same time, however, they repudiate the Torah Shebaal Peh, and they simply reject the oral tradition that's given and the authority of the Chachamim, and so therefore they too also do not agree to the institution of Eruv Tchumim. Eruv Tchumim is a din derabanan, takana derabanan. So there was an incident with a tzuki living in our chatzir, says Rami Gamliel. Shayadari manu b'mavu b'Yerushalayim. He was with us in our mavu in Yerushalayim. And v'amar lanu abba. Now our father told us, the father of Rami Gamliel is Rami Shimon ben Gamliel. And he said to us, maru v'otzi asakeel l'mavu, that in order to make sure that we have secured our chatzir for Shabbos, so the moment that Shabbos begins, so we're going to take our kelim out into the mavui, and so that way the tzukim cannot go ahead and back off from their agreement of giving over their portion of the chatzir to us. All this will be discussed in much greater detail when we get to the Gemara, so we'll understand this a lot better. Now that is all one version of what Rabbi Gamliel told us. The Gemara brings in the second version, the Mishnah brings in the second version, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, B'lashon Acher, in a slightly different version, Maru V'asu Tzarchechem B'mavui. So Rabbi Gamliel said to everybody living in that Mavui, that you got to take care of all your needs before Shabbos. Because once Shabbos comes along, so we cannot count on the tzduki. Even if he was mevatel reshus, even if he relinquished his rights to the chatzer, but probably what's going to happen on Shabbos is that he's going to back away from his original agreement, and he's going to bring out his kelim into the chatzer, And so therefore, his bitul rishus turns out to be ineffective. And so therefore, let me just read the Mishnah. Ma'aruve asu tzar chechem b'mavui ad shelo yotzi v'yasar lechem, before the tzuki goes ahead and takes things out on Shabbos, in which basically he's going to be backing away from his agreement. Again, all this is going to be explained much better when we get to the Gemara. So this version, these views are Rabbi Gamliel and the Stuki living in the Mavoi. So that is something we're going to be discussing. But in the meantime, however, let's deal with the first part of the Mishnah. First part of the Mishnah, we talked about a machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, and it needs explanation, and the Gemara goes on and begins the explanation. We are on the very top of Samech Beis Aman Aleph. Yosef Abaye Bar Avin Virav Chinana Bar Avin. V'yasav Abaye Gabayo, v'yasav V'kamri. So these Amoraim are sitting together with Abaye, and they make the following statement. Bishlam Rav Meir, I understand Shitas Rav Meir. Kasav Adiras Ovekochav Mishmadira V'loshna Chad V'loshna Trey. The Shita of Rabbi Meir makes a lot of sense. Rav Meir is the Tanakam of our Mishnah, in that he views the residence of a non-Jew as a legal residence. And so therefore you understand that now when you're living together in a chatzar, Jew and non-Jew, so you now have multiple residences in this chatzar. And then I understand that there needs to be a tikkun done in order to be able to carry from your house into the chatzar. El Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, but the position of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is very difficult to understand. It's a challenging position. If a non-Jewish residence is viewed halachically as a residence, so then it shouldn't matter that it's one Jew living with non-Jew. That's now considered two people living in the chatzer. And therefore, their residence has to be regarded. Now it's considered non-significant. So then I don't understand. Even if you have two Jews living there in the chatzer, why do we regard the residence of a non-Jew? Why do we have to now consider and take into consideration the residence of a non-Jew? If the non-Jewish residence is not viewed halachically valid, so then even if I have two Jews living there, we could just simply ignore the residence of the non-Jew and just deal with the fact that there are two Jews living in the chatzer. Obviously, an eruv has to be made between the two Jews, but can't we just simply disregard the non-Jew? So Amar Lahu Abaye. So the Gemara says, Abaye's explanation goes as follows. Now, your assumption is that according to Rameir, the dira of a non-Jew is considered a residence. Vatanya, but that's not true because we know the brisa. And the brisa is chatzer shel avikochavim harehu kedir shel behema. That when I have a chatzer where the only people living in that chatzer are non-Jews, so then as far as residents are concerned, so it's compared to an animal stable, it just simply means that halachically, they are not halachically significant. Meaning to say that there is no restriction and one would be allowed to carry from the houses into the chatzer, from the chatzer into the houses. Now, mind you, by the way, that since all the residences of this chatzer are not Jewish, so they don't have to abide by Shabbos. They not only do they not have to, they don't abide by Shabbos, but it just simply means that there simply is no restrictions whatsoever, and it would be perfectly legitimate for a Jew to carry from the home of the non-Jew into the chatzer. It's basically viewed as one singular rishus yachid. So that is the shita of Rav Meir. Clearly over here, Rameer is of the position that the residence of a non-Jew is not significant. So the Gemara says, okay, so now we're going to have to revisit our Mishnah again, and with the starting assumption that everyone in our Mishnah, both Rameer and Rabbi Eliezer, are of the opinion that Diras of Kochavim is not considered a kamiflagi. And what we're being introduced to over here in our Mishnah is something new. And that is as follows. In addition to Eruve Chaseris, which is what we're primarily discussing in our Mishnah, we're also being treated to our Mishnah to another Gzera de Rabbanan, and that's the following. The Chachamim didn't want us to be within such close proximity and close quarters with a non-Jew. If we were to be living in the same Chaser as a non-Jew, so we would just simply be influenced and affected by their lifestyle and adversely. And so what the Chachamim did is that they tried to make gzeros that would make life living with a non-Jew be somewhat uncomfortable. So that eventually what's going to end up happening is that we're going to be moving out of the chatzer. And so what the Chachamim insisted is that when we're living together with a non-Jew in a chatzer, so we need to rent out the space from the non-Jew. The purpose of this is that it's going to make it uncomfortable. In other words, we're going to have an uncomfortable conversation with a non-Jew. That look, Shabbos is coming, and We want to be able to carry within our chatzer, and we're going to need to rent out space from you. And this is going to be an uncomfortable conversation, and eventually what's going to end up happening is that we're going to end up moving out of the chatzer based on the inconvenience that the Chachamim actually legislated. They wanted it to be inconvenient. And so let's make sure that we have this clear. That means to say that really fundamentally, the residence of a non-Jew is not regarded vis-a-vis the halachas of Eruvei Chatzeros, and that really means that fundamentally their residence can be disregarded. But as a separate Gzeirah D'Rabbanan, the Chachamim wanted us to be able to be somewhat inconvenienced, somewhat uncomfortable, living in the same chatzer as a non-Jew, and thereby requiring us to rent out the rights of the non-Jew's chatzer from the non-Jew, and hopefully with the hopes that it's going to be so uncomfortable, we're going to end up moving out of there. And now, with all that stated, the Gemara now is going to explain the machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, Savar, Kevin, De'ove, Kochav, Mechashad, Shvichos, Damim, Shrei, Deshchichi, Dedari, Gazru, Behu, Chad, Lo, Shriach, Lo, Gazru, Behu, Rabbanan. As far as Shitas Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is concerned, it is so unusual that you're going to have a chatzer where there are only two residences. One is going to be a Jew and the other one is going to be a non-Jew. Why is it so unusual? Because, generally speaking, so the Ovei Kochavim is involved in Shvichos Damim, and it's just simply going to be so dangerous for one Jew to be living in a chatzer with only one non-Jew. And so it's really rare that that's going to happen. And when the Chachamim make a gzera, they don't make a gzera on something that's so unusual. On the other hand, having two Jews living in a chatzer with a non-Jew, that's something which is something that is a slightly more frequent. And so therefore, under those circumstances, the Chachamim made a gzera. That's all Shitas Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. And the Amar Rabbanan and the, I'm sorry, Vira Meir, Savar, Zimnan de Mikre Vidayer. And the Chachamim say, yeah, it's true that it's unusual, but it could happen, and because it could happen, so therefore the Chachamim did in fact make a gzera, even if it's one Jew, one non-Jew living in a chatzer. And probably this is Rav Meir, consistent with his general Shita, where he's Choshish Lemiyuta, he's worried about the minority cases, and even though this is a minority case, but he felt that under these circumstances, it's shaykh to make a gzera in these circumstances. V'amru Rabbanan. And now the Abai goes on to explain. Now the Chachamim said, "Ein eruv mo'ol b'makom ovei kochavim," that you can't make an eruv where the non-Jew lives in the chatzer. "Ein bitul reshus mo'ol b'makom ovei kochavim." Bitul reshus also is not going to be helping in a place where the ovei kochavim. "Ad shiyaskir." V'ovei kochavim lo mugar. And what you have to do now is you have to rent out the rights of the non-Jews. You have to rent out the non-Jew's rights in the chatzer. But v'kochav lo mugar, and the non-Jew is not going to be that excited about doing it. Now the Gemara over here on a side note wants to know why. Why is the non-Jew not going to be so excited about doing it? My time out. So the Gemara wants to understand what exactly makes this conversation so uncomfortable. Why is this going to end up promoting that the Jew and non-Jew's relationship is going to be even more contentious, and the Jew is going to end up wanting to leave the chatzer. So my time out. So Elam and Mishum Desavar Dilma Asilach Zuka Birushu. So because consider, when we knock on the door of the non-Jew and say we want to rent out the rights of your chatzer. So eventually what he's going to be thinking is that, oh, you want to rent out the rights of my chatzer. You probably also want to end up owning my rights to the chatzer, and probably eventually you're going to end up buying my house as well. Buying my house as well. Hanichal Amanda Amar Schirus Bria Be'inan. So the Gemara says, good. This all works, but only under the following supposition, and that is, when we rent out the rights of the non-Jew in the chatzer, what exactly is that rental going to look like? And, as we're going to see right now, we're subject to a machlokus of the Amorim. If you need a strong rental, that term is going to be defined better in just a moment. So then I can understand how knocking on his door and asking to rent out his rights, so then I understand how that's going to make him nervous. Now the Gemara says, but what if I don't need a strong rental, but rather a weak rental would be fine? Meaning basically a token rental. If the token rental is all that's necessary, so the non-Jew understands that this is just all but a token action. And so why is all this going to be made everyone feel uncomfortable? Now the Gemara just simply introduces us to this machlokas amarayim. Rav Chista Amar Schiris Bria, Rav Sheshis Amar Schiris Ru'ua. Machlok is between Rav Chista and Rav Sheshis. What kind of rental a person needs to make from a non-Jew for his rights in the Chatzar? According to Rav Chista, it needs to be a bona fide, strong rental. And according to Rav Sheshis, it doesn't have to be that strong. In other words, a token rental would be good. Now, even as we say the machlokas, the Gemara just wants to clarify better, what does that mean? My ru'a, my bria, what exactly is that mean? Elema bria bepruta, and ru'a b'achos mishava pruta, and maybe it's the amount of money that has to be paid to the non-Jew in order to rent out his rights in the chater. So the Gemara says, mi'iko laman da'amar ovikochavim, me'ovikochavim b'achos mishava pruta, lo. When it comes to a non-Jew, there really is no distinction between an amount of money that is a shavapruta, an amount of money that's less than a shavapruta. V'ashalach Rav Yitzchak b'Rabbi Yaakov bar Giyura mishmei de Rav Yochanan. The following was sent in the name of Rav Yochanan. Haviyodim, you know, shesorchem and ovikocham, afil b'pachos mishavapruta. That when it comes to rentals from the non-Jew, so the amount could be even less than a pruta. V'amar Rav Chia bar Ava amar Rav Yochanan. Another statement that is said over in the name of Rav Yochanan that certainly complements what we just learned together, and that is Ben Noach, Nerag, Apochus Mishava Pruta. That if I have a Ben Noach who steals less than a Shava Pruta, so he's going to be punished with the typical punishment for a Ben Noach, which is going to be, it's going to be capital punishment, as per the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daphne Zion, Daphne Ches, Veloni Tadli Shavon, and also not subject to being returned. Exactly what that means. So the Rashi. Certainly a simple reading of Rashi would indicate that he does not need to return the object that was stolen. Okay, much discussion in that Rashi. But anyway, but for our purposes right now, the basic idea is that when it comes to a non-Jew and money, there is no distinction to be made between a Shavapruta and less than a Shavapruta. So the Gemara says, so when we're talking about the difference between a Schiyas Bria and a Schiyas Ru'ua, a strong rental and a weaker rental, so right now we still don't even know what we're talking about. So elabria bim morhaki va borgani, and ru'a below morhaki va borgani. So the Gemara says the difference between them is the following. If we're saying that we need a strong rental, basically we go over to the non-Jew and say we want to rent out his rights to the chatzer. And if it's a strong rental, what we actually are going to do after having given the money is that we can actually put our furniture out there on the courtyard and even on quote-unquote his portion of the courtyard. That is if it's a strong rental, meaning to say that it's a bona fide transaction and we can actually make use of his rights in the courtyard. On the other hand, on a token transaction, so that means to say that we'll give him some money, but we really can't do anything that is above what is normal usage out in the courtyard, and his portion of the courtyard cannot be used any more than it was prior to the rental. It's a token rental. That's all it is. So now the Gemara, after having explained the difference between the strong rental and the token rental, so the Gemara says, Hanich laman damar schiris bria v'inan. So I understand how this conversation between the Jew and the non-Jew is going to be made very uncomfortable if we're talking about a real rental. Because now the non-Jew is going to feel threatened. Why are they renting out the rights to my chaser every Shabbos and putting out furniture over there? And in other words, it's going to be real uncomfortable. But Elaman Damaskiris Ruah Beina and Michael Amemar. But if we're talking about something which is just a token rental, so then what's the big deal? So then he's gonna be threatened because you went over and you gave him a little bit of money and it's not gonna change at all the environment and you're not gonna have any more rights to the chatzer. What's the big deal? So the Gemara says no. So the Gemara says yeah, but you know what? It's still gonna make the non-Jew uncomfortable. Imagine you're going over there on Erev Shabbos. Hi, I'd like to rent out the rights to the chatzir this particular Shabbos. Okay, and what does that mean exactly? Nothing. I'm just going to give you some money, and now I'm going to be able to rent out your share of the chatzir. Okay. And so the Gemara basically says is that what's going to be conjured up in the head of the non-Jew is that the Jew's definitely up to something. The Gemara describes it as kshafim, right? Witchcraft, sorcery. Yeah, okay. In other words, the whole thing is so fishy. The non-Jew is going to be even more suspicious of the Jew, and that's going to be made to make everyone in the chatzer even a little bit more uncomfortable, which is perfect. That's exactly what the Chachamim wanted. Okay. So basically what we learned together is the following. When a Jew and a non-Jew living in the chatzar together, so may ikar din according to the strict letter of the law, the residence of the non-Jew vis-a-vis the halachas of Ervin is to be totally disregarded, meaning the residence is not considered a residence. And really, fundamentally, there is nothing that needs to be done vis-a-vis his residence, and I would be able to carry from my house into the chatzar without any tikkun whatsoever. But because of a separate gzera where the chachamim wanted us to be made uncomfortable when living within a chatzar together with a non-Jew in such close proximity, so therefore the chachamim demanded that we do what's called schirus. We rent out his rights in the chatzar, and the whole purpose of that is to be made is so that we are made to feel a slightly uncomfortable with this arrangement of Jew and non-Jew living within the same chatzar. Now, when does this secondary gzera kick in? That's the machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. According to Rav Meir, it kicks in even when you have just one Jew, one non-Jew living in the chatzar. And according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, it has to be two Jews and one non-Jew living in the chatzar. And why, according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, does he not make the gzera when it's one Jew and one non-Jew? And the reason is because that's something that's so unusual. It's a davar which is eino shchiach, and the chachamim under those circumstances didn't make a gzera. Whereas Rav Meir, on the other hand, who's choshish lemiuta, who generally is worried about the minority, so he says that under those circumstances we're going to make a gzera. Adkan. That takes us right now to basically the first half of the daf today, and the Gemara now is going to go back and revisit the shita of Rav Meir. Gufa, the Gemara says, let's go back. And that is chaser shal v'kocham harei kedusha behema umotel la'achnis la'otzi min chaser labatim and ben labatim lachaser. So here now the Gemara is going to quote the Braisa. We only previously quoted a snippet of the Braisa, but now the Gemara is going to be quoting the Braisa in its entirety. If I have a courtyard where the only residents of this courtyard are non-Jews, so it's kedusha behema, which basically means that legally speaking, it is not viewed as a residence, and a Jew would be allowed to carry from the houses to the chatzar, from the chatzar to the houses. Again, just to reiterate, by the way, it's a somewhat limited psak over here because it just simply means that if, for whatever reason, if let's say there needs to be any carrying done from the chatzar to the houses, remember, these are non-Jewish houses, so it's not quite that helpful or practical that you'd be able to do so, but you would be able to carry from the houses to the chatzar because vis-a-vis residences, the non-Jewish residences are not legally significant vis-a-vis the halachas of Erevin. And so you can carry from the houses to the chatzar and from the chatzar to the houses. Now, the im yesham Yisrael echad oser, now, once you have one Jew now living in the chatzar, so that's it. So now we're looking at restriction. And you would not be able to carry. You wouldn't be able to carry, forget not being able to carry from your house into the chatzar, but you can't even carry from the non-Jew's house into the chatzar. Divrei Meir, this is all the Shita of Meir. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, La'olam Inu Oser, Ad Shu Shnei Yisraelim Osem Zel Zeh. The only time that this becomes a problem is only if there are two Jews living in the Chatzir, as we just learned together in the Mishnah. The Braisa is reiterating what we already established in the Mishnah. As we now turn to the top of the Amud Beis, Amar Mar, and we're going to go back now and we're going to revisit a line of the Braisa, Chaser Shal V'Kochav Meharei Kedir Shal Me'ema. So as far as the courtyard of a non-Jew, so it's dirsha behema. In other words, it's not significant. So v'hanan tanan hadayim avikochavim avachaser hareze oser alav. So the Gemara says, now, boy, am I confused. Because in the Braisa we were dealing with, you have only non-Jews living in the chaser, and all their houses are halachically not significant, meaning it's basically one rishus hayachid. It's not considered multiple rishus hayachid. And meanwhile, in our Mishnah, we learned that when I have a chatzer where you have one Jew and one non-Jew, so now the non-Jew's residence is significant, and that creates restriction, and that seems to go against the Braisa. So the Gemara says, "Lo kashya had the isay had the leisay." So the Gemara says, "No." As far as the Mishnah's case is concerned, we're talking about where the non-Jew is actually living in the chatzer. As far as the Braisa is concerned, we're talking about where the non-Jew is currently away for that Shabbos. So the Gemara says, I don't understand that distinction. My kasavar. Ikas avadiras below balam shmadira. So an unoccupied home. So is that significant or is that not significant? So afilo avikochav nami netzer. So if an unoccupied home is significant, so then even if the non-Jew's house is unoccupied, but that should create isra, that should create restriction. And the ikas of a dira is below balam losh madira. And if an unoccupied home is insignificant, afilu Yisrael, namilo neitzar. So if the Jew is away for that Shabbos, so that should also alleviate any restriction. So the Gemara says, so where do we stand on an unoccupied home? So the Gemara says, Lolam Kasavadira below Balan Losh Madira. So the Gemara says, an unoccupied home fundamentally is not viewed as a residence on Shabbos, meaning it will not affect the halachas of Eruv Echatzeros. V'yisol d'chi yisei asar kilei segazer be'rabanan. Now the Gemara says, now, as far as a Jew is concerned and a Jew's home is concerned, so because when the Jew is living there for that Shabbos, it creates restriction. So even when the Jew is not living there, even though fundamentally an unoccupied home is halachically viewed as insignificant, but the Gzeira D'Rabbanan extends by a Jewish home even when it's unoccupied. Fine. However, Ovikocham D'Chi'isa Gzeira Shem Yilami Mimasav. Now, as far as a non-Jewish home is concerned, so remember, let's go back to what we learned on the Amud Aleph. When it comes to a non-Jewish home, to begin with, the non-Jewish home vis-a-vis the halachos Eruv Echatzeros is fundamentally not significant. And the only reason why it's significant is for a separate gzera, not for the gzera of Eruv Echatzeros, but rather for the secondary gzeros of Shema Yilamid Mimasav. I might learn from the actions of a non-Jew. So that is really a secondary gzera. So within the secondary gzera, that is only going to be extended in the case where the non-Jew is living in the home. But ki isay aser, when he's living there, that's where there's going to be iser. But ki leisay lo aser, but when he's not living there, there's not going to be iser. Ah, so the Gemara basically now has delineated the difference between an unoccupied Jewish home and an unoccupied non-Jewish home. And to try to hopefully organize this information really well, so when it comes to an unoccupied Jewish home, so the starting point of that is that when I have an occupied Jewish home, so that creates restriction based on the basic institution of a Eruv Echatzeros. That when I have multiple Jews living in within one chatzer, so that was the original institution of a Eruv Echatzeros. So there, within that original institution, so basically what the Chachamim did is they just simply extended it not only to occupied homes, but even unoccupied homes as well, as long as they're Jewish unoccupied homes. On the other hand, if the owner of the home is a non-Jew, so to start off with, even when occupied, the only reason why that home creates restriction is not because of Eruv Echatzeros, but for a separate gzera of Shema Yilamin Mimasav. Might come and learn from their actions. And obviously when we say learn, meaning learn bad habits from their actions. And so therefore, the Chachamim required the Schirus, but not having to do with Eruv Echatzeros, that has to do with the secondary gzera of we want this situation to be uncomfortable. We want you to have to knock on the door and basically ask, can I rent out your spot in the chatzer? So when that happens and it's made uncomfortable, so that's what the Chachamim wanted. Within the secondary gzera, so that's only when they're home, but when they're not home, so then the Chachamim did not extend that secondary gzera. Okay. Now, just one more point that the Gemara is going to iron out, and that is v'chi leisa lo aser. When they are not there, so the Chachamim did not extend the secondary gzera, v'atanan, the Gemara says, what about a Mishnah? We're going to see this Mishnah later in the Masechta. Hamniach is based of Al-Khlo, Lishbos, B'Yeracheres. Let's say you leave your home to go elsewhere for Shabbos. Echanachir v'echad Yisrael oser. Whether it is a non-Jew or a Jew that leaves, so that's still going to create restriction. Divrei Rav Meir, that shita's Rav Meir. So the Gemara says, so why? Meaning we just learned together that when it comes to the unoccupied non-Jewish home, so once he leaves and it's unoccupied, so then we don't enforce this secondary restriction. So the Gemara's response is, Hasam de'asi biyume. No, that Mishnah over there, later in the Masechta, is talking about where the plan is that he's going to come back later that day. Under those circumstances, so then this secondary restriction is not going to be lifted. It is only when he's gone for the totality of Shabbos, then and only then is that secondary restriction going to be lifted. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. And with this now, we're going to be starting a great discussion that we'll just touch on right now, and we'll continue it well into tomorrow's daf. And that is the idea, that is the following idea, that when, in fact, we have now one Jew and one non-Jew living with a nechatzer, so is there a restriction, is there a requirement to be socher the rights of the non-Jew? So as we learned together in the Mishnah, it's machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Rav Meir says there's restriction, and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says under those circumstances there is no restriction. Now, who does the halacha follow like? So I'm Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, halacha ki Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So Rav Yehuda Mishmuel says very clearly that the halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, and that means to say that we can publicly broadcast that that's the halacha. That's Rashi's explanation. Rav Huna Amar Mina ki Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. According to Rav Huna, it just simply means that we tend to follow the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, meaning on a case-by-case basis, we will tell people to follow like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, but we will not publicly say so. And Rav Yochanan Mar Naguam ki Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Rav Yochanan gives the weakest endorsement of the sheet of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, and that means to say that if somebody does, in fact, follow the shita of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, so we won't protest. But we're not going to publicly say so, and even on a case-by-case basis, we're not going to endorse the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So varying degrees of how the Amoraim felt regarding how strongly we should follow the shita of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Okay, we're going to pause over here. The Gemara, we're going to start tomorrow with a discussion of how to paskin the halacha if, in fact, you are around your Rebbe. Mora halacha bifnei rabo, that is really, this is the starting point of that discussion, and we'll hold off on this until tomorrow, where we're going to start on this discussion. In the meantime, let's quickly review and recap. We opened up the sixth parak of the Masechta, in which we opened up the topic of Eruv Chatzir. It's when I have multiple Jews living within one Chatzir. So the halacha is that the only way that we'd be able to carry from the homes into the Chatzir is only through the vehicle of Eruv Chatzeros. Many of the details of Eruv Chatzeros coming up later in the parak, but in the meantime, here in the first Mishnah, on our first foray into the topic of Eruv Chatzeros, so we dealt with the issue of what happens when the non-Jew lives in the Chatzir. So, conclusions. Fundamentally, the residence of a non-Jew in a Chatzir does not really affect the halachas of Eruv Chatzeros. However, as a secondary gzera, not having to do with Eruv Chatzeros, but just the idea that the Chachamim do not want us comfortable with the idea that we're going to be living together in a Chatzir, in such close quarters, with a non-Jew. So the Chachamim demanded that under those circumstances, we need to rent out their rights of the Chatzir. And we need to knock on the door and ask them whether or not we could rent out the rights of their Chatzir. And in having this conversation, so it's going to be awkward and uncomfortable, and that's exactly what the Chachamim want. So eventually, what's going to end up happening is somebody's going to move out. Probably we're going to move out and not have to be inconvenienced with this uncomfortable conversation. As far as when the Chachamim instituted this gzera, so machlokas ha-tanayim. According to the Shita Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, only under the circumstances where there are two Jews living in the Chatzir with one non-Jew. According to Rav Meir, that would be even when one Jew is living in the Chatzir with one non-Jew. This is all what was introduced to us in the Mishnah. We also learned in the Gemara today regarding what exactly this rental is going to look at when I'm renting out the rights of the non-Jew within the Chatzir. So we're talking about a strong rental or a weak rental, a Schiras Bria or a Schiras Ru'ua. And the difference between them, the Gemara concludes, is that with a strong rental, I'm actually can make use of the courtyard. We can put out furniture in the courtyard. If, however, it's a Schiras Ru'a, it's basically a token rental, and we're doing so only to have this uncomfortable conversation, but I really can't do anything extra. I'm not given any additional rights within the Chatzir. What makes then this conversation so uncomfortable for the non-Jew? So the Gemara says it's basically going to make him nervous. Meaning, what are we up to? We're knocking on the door. We're saying, can I have token rental of your space in the Chatzir? And he's going to think that we're basically up to no good. So and that'll make it uncomfortable. Anyway, that is all the idea of schirus of the Chatzir of the non-Jew. As far as what we saw on the Amud Beis, further clarification of the Shitas Rav Meir and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, vis-a-vis when it comes to Shitas Rav Meir, we learned that if the courtyard is made up only of non-Jews, so then there's no restriction whatsoever. One would be allowed to carry from the homes into the Chatzir, from the Chatzir into the home, meaning that when it comes to the residences of non-Jews, so it's like Dir Shel Behema. In other words, they don't have any status whatsoever. What about our Mishnah? So the Gemara notes the difference between the Brice and the Mishnah. The Brice is talking about where the residences of non-Jews and they're unoccupied. Our Mishnah is talking about where the residences of non-Jews and they are occupied. And so we learned on the Amud Beis the difference between occupied and non-occupied. Now, when it comes to occupied, occupied homes of Jews versus unoccupied homes of Jews, there's no difference. Meaning there's still going to be an Eruv of Chatzeres requirement. As opposed to when it comes to occupied versus unoccupied homes of non-Jews, since the gzera of the non-Jewish home to begin with is a separate gzera altogether, that was the secondary gzera of Shami Lame Mimasav, so that gzera is only when it's occupied, not when it's unoccupied. Okay, and then the Gemara concluded with an endorsement of Shita of Rav Lez Ben Yaakov, that the only time that there's restriction is only when it is two Jews and one non-Jew living within the same chatzer. And how strongly are we going to be siding with the Shita of Rav Lez Ben Yaakov? That's where we concluded today. And tomorrow, we start with a discussion of being Mora Halacha Bifnei Rabbah.